Welcome to the UX of Diversity podcast. I'm Stephen Ruiz. The podcast is a blend of narrative and interviews, all centering around issues surrounding diversity and inclusion. We will cover issues surrounding gender, race, LGBT, and other forms of diversity, including age.
Although we'll emphasize diversity in the technology space, we'll also be drawing from fields including HR, academia, consulting services, and more.
Welcome to episode 10 of the UX of Diversity podcast. Now, we have been on a bit of a hiatus, and if you are a subscriber to the podcast, then you already know that we have taken a bit of time off, primarily from my perspective, and I am hosting the show on my own for the time being. Shayna Alkvist, my amazing co-organizer of the Silicon Beach Diversity Meetup and amazing former co-host, has actually launched her own podcast, which is pretty amazing. And I've got a little bit of information to share with you about it here. If you enjoy Shayna and I on the UX of Diversity podcast, you should really check out her podcast, Innovation for All. This is her latest endeavor, what she's been doing, and it features long-form interviews with thought leaders and really talks about, you know, innovation and social impact. You know, some of the topics that are on there now is like whether virtual reality can improve sexual harassment training, or another one is how to grow business in the black beauty industry, and whether artificial intelligence is being based on biased data. So it's a really, really cool podcast, and you should check it out. And here is a little teaser from Shayna herself.
Coming soon to your favorite podcasting platform. Do you think technology and business are super cool, but want to think more about their implications for society? Well, you're going to love my forthcoming podcast, Innovation for All. On Innovation for All, I'll be interviewing entrepreneurs, technologists, and academics. There will be a huge emphasis on diversity and culture at large. We'll discuss topics like, are we building AI to be as biased as humans? What's it like to be a conservative working in tech? How can AR help the hard of hearing? And what exactly is implicit bias, and can I get rid of it or what? So if this sounds interesting to you, well, you're smart. Click Get Updates now and join the conversation. See you soon.
So yeah, check out Innovation for All. It is her podcast that really features, you know, technologists and subject matter experts that also focus on diversity and culture. She, you know, obviously is dealing with it from a slightly different perspective than we are here at the UX of Diversity, but we are very excited to support her, and we would definitely like to have you check that out. So, it is Oscar season here in Los Angeles, California. Oh, there's so much to unpack here. So, the hashtag OscarsSoWhite really led the charge a few years back in really highlighting the problem of diversity within the movie industry, the entertainment industry. And since we are literally 24 hours away from the Oscars happening, I thought I would talk a little bit about diversity and inclusion in the media. And in particular, in popular media like films, television shows, and radio or podcast, which I'm a bigger fan of myself personally. So let's unpack this just a little bit. So UCLA puts out something called the Hollywood Diversity Report. And this has been something that has been active for, I would say, the past 3 or 4 years. I have to do a little more research on this, but it is a very interesting exercise. And, you know, having UCLA lead the charge in this, and specifically Dr. Daryl Hunt, who is the director of the Ralph Bonche, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Center, and Dr. Christina Ramon, who's the assistant director of the research team that has put this together, they really have shed a light on what it means to be diverse in Hollywood, right? So it's a really fascinating experience and a really eye-opening report, because it comes from some deep research and analysis around diversity in film and in television. That includes, who has the starring roles, who's writing, who's directing, who's producing, who's representing the talent, right? And it's also kind of takes the whole experiment one step further, and outside of just identifying the problem, to, in their words, identify and disseminate best practices for increasing the pipeline of underrepresented groups in the Hollywood entertainment industry, which is a huge ask of something like this, but I think really amazing, right? And to see the impact that it's had, just in the few years that it's been up and running, has been a really, really amazing thing to see happen, especially for us in the area that covers diversity and inclusion. It's really, really great. It's a really, really interesting thing. Going through the report, there are definitely some interesting takeaways here when you start to look at, what exactly it is that is being looked at, the numbers, the way they break down. And I would say, one of the takeaways here is that, you look at the country as a whole, right? And 40%, roughly 40% of our population is comprised of minorities. Now, if you look at the trajectory, right, when we look at the actual number of non-white folks that will be in the population within the next, say, few decades, we're on track to supersede and be the dominant group. Non-whites will be dominant in the United States in less than two decades. Now, the reason that this is important is, again, where the gatekeepers are of media, where the people who are making the decisions to put people in movies and in television and to have that representation in their films, those people are not recognizing the fact that people who are the majority of the population that consumes media are not seeing folks that look like them, are representative of who they are on the big screen, on television, in media. Now, obviously, this is something that has been a focus and a part of the conversation since the hashtag OscarsSoWhite was such a dominant force and such a big push, or at least a moment of being able to reconcile and recognize this within the community that is so, seemingly conscious of different social movements, the Me Too movements. Everybody had supported the cause for AIDS when it was back in the 80s and 90s. Usually people in the entertainment business take up the cause of social justice, at least theoretically. They're pretty adamant about getting themselves out there. Now, when it comes to the actual media itself, when it actually comes to the faces of the people that are being thrust on the screen, the faces of people that are in the films, right? The very people that are usually proponents for this type of social change or social activity in positive ways. And I'm not saying anything negative about how people in the entertainment business have handled this. Well, I mean, it is what it is. Like, the numbers don't lie. But I will say, I think that for the most part, that the intentions, the quote-unquote intentions, are good. But intentions don't change the numbers necessarily. So looking at the latest, greatest numbers, and that would be from the, the Hollywood Diversity Report for 2018, only 1.4 out of 10 lead actors in films for the year were people of color. Now, again, percentage-wise, we're looking at an overall population of 40% of the overall population, and a 1.4 out of 10 is under 20, really represented. So is that a thing? Yeah, that's very problematic, right? When we start to, peel back at some of the more, granular layers of what's here, and looking at directors. And again, this is looking, this is referencing the report from 2018. Only 1.3 out of 10 film directors are people of color. And this is overall. These are films that are out there, and were out there for 2018, and that were in, you know, wide distributed public release. And again, that's 1.3 out of 10 film directors were people of color. And that's, and again, percentage wise, we're looking at the ratio of what would that be, a little over 10%, roughly. You know, I am not a math dude at all, but like that looks like it would be right around 10%, not representative, right? And when we're talking about gender, for that same year, for 2018, less than 1 out of 10 film directors, or 10% overall, were female, okay? So you really start to see an ongoing trend here. You know, now I will say this, and this is without quoting anything specific as far as the numbers go, but there has been, you know, there has been improvement. There has been a move in the right direction, right? Now, I'm talking those numbers that I was specifically talking about. Those are numbers that came from films. Those are numbers that came, you know, not necessarily from television, but you know, the TV landscape isn't much more, right? It's not much better, but it's comparable, and it's in the same vein of saying, okay, you know, why is it that when we're looking at a population that's 40%+ of the overall population, that there isn't more diverse voices and more diverse perspectives in the industry? But you know, the whole premise, the whole beginning of the UX of diversity really comes from UX. User experience obviously has been the discipline that I have been involved with for almost two decades, which has really turned into a much bigger field for me, right? So user experience, product management, project management, consulting, all in that world. But how it started, at least for me, was, you know, looking at diversity in the tech industry. But media in 2019 is so inextricably tied to technology, right? Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, you know, these are all dominant players in the media landscape these days, and they are tech companies, if you think about it. So the line that's blurred between technology and media is very pervasive. We have computers in our pockets. We stream everything. Amazon, obviously, is a big contender as well in this space. So I definitely see an overlap between the tech industry and the Amazons and the Netflix and the YouTubes and the Hulus of this world, and what is reflected in Hollywood, what's reflected in the media, what is reflected in television and film and radio, and all of the places that have terrestrial content are also inevitably going to have digital content. Now, the whole objective, the whole point of what, you know, I want to emphasize here is that there needs to be, at the very least, a recognition of the fact that things need to move in a different direction, that the needle has to be moved towards a more inclusive media landscape, because at the end of the day, it makes much more sense for us to, you know, it's not just that it's just the right thing to do, but if you look at the numbers, and again, you know, data does not lie. If you look at really objective numbers in terms of what movies are making money, what movies are popular, what movies have the biggest engagement, and this is across the board, from movies, for television, for, you know, for online content, video content, anything that has a more diverse cast inevitably does better at the box office, right? So, you know, one big example of this is Black Panther. Here are just a few of the numbers about Black Panther. So for 2018, Black Panther was the highest grossing movie of the year, right? It brought in $700 million. So that is pretty insane. So that's $700 million domestically, right? So by the end of 2018, you know, globally, globally, it earned $1.3 billion. Now, again, sit with that for a minute. That was the highest grossing movie of the year, right? Now, looking at those numbers for 2018, it is very safe to say that the diversity of that cast not only was quote-unquote the right thing to do, but from a business perspective, and this is something that I have talked about over and over and again, is that when you diversify the people involved in a project, it always ends up being better, period. And this has been supported by so many different reports, by so many different results, by so many different institutions that have shown that, again, it's not just the right thing to do, but it is the smart business move to do as well. And it is really funny that Hollywood, you know, and by extension, the tech world that kind of supports it, at least from a channel perspective, also from a production perspective, let's be honest, like the tech industry is leading the way for new content in the digital space. And that's inevitable, right? Now, again, you know, diversity is not just the right thing to do. Diversity and inclusion, and I mean, you know, and I always say this, diversity with a capital D. It's not just the right thing to do, but it is the smart business move. So, you know, what does this all mean, right? So we're 24 hours away from the Oscar ceremony about to take place. And looking at the Best Picture nominees, let's see what we've got here. We've got Bohemian Rhapsody about Queen. Obviously, you know, Freddie Mercury being LGBT, you know, representing the LGBT community. We've got The Favorite. We've got Black Panther, which we've talked about. We've got Spike Lee's Black Klansman, which is nominated for Best Picture. We've got Green Book, which is also the story of an African-American artist touring the South during tense moments in the early 60s. And we've got Vice, A Star is Born, and Roma by Alfonso Cuarón, who really has made a splash this year of showing the class differences in Mexico and really showing a depth of Mexican culture that I don't think has been seen by an audience in the United States for a very, I won't even say a very long time, I would say ever, right? Most people that live in states that aren't populated with lots of Hispanics, which, you know, outside of, you know, coastal cities and border cities, you know, when you go further into Texas and places that have a more dense population of Latinx folks, you know, their perception of people from Mexico is very, you know, it's very much a caricature, right? All of the stereotypes that go along with this. And what I think is so great about, you know, Roma is that Roma does look at the depth of the culture there. So you've got some indigenous representation there, and you've got a middle-class family that's there, and it's just such a nuanced and beautiful story that it unpacks layers of things about Mexican culture that I don't think many people in the United States ever think about unless they have some tie back to that country. So let me just leave you with this. In the era of Charlottesville and the rise of white nationalist groups and the juxtaposition of the inevitable fact that within a decade that overall in this country, white people will be the minority, it's really important to understand where we are in this cultural moment in this country. We are very divided, but I'm a firm believer in the fact that our experiences as human beings on the planet have so much more similarity than they do differences, that the level of importance that bringing diverse stories to television and film and radio and digital content is very important, because music, film, the arts, television, creation in all its form really does transcend and open up people's minds to different experiences. And I think, I wish there were one single takeaway here, but I will say that I do think that we as a country need more diverse perspectives, and not perspectives to say that I agree with you 100%, but to say I'm going to be willing to sit and listen to your story. If we as individuals can do that, and art can help open that up, then we are going to be in a much, much better place. Thank you so much for listening. Look forward to episode 11. We've got lots of stuff to talk about. But I hope you have a wonderful rest of your February. And I'll see you at the movies.
Enjoy today's episode. Subscribe to the UX of Diversity podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you podcast.